Praise God. We got a lot to sing about, and we got a lot to be thankful for. I am so encouraged. I told Phil this morning, I felt like Lord had maybe given me a little something, and ever since we got here, I just see God speaking. You know, He speaks through each person in one way or the other, whether it's the expression of their life or they just something they're going through. Our God is a personal God, and He wants to be personal to us. And that is what the gospel is all about. The first thing that Daniel said when he got up here, he mentioned a song. I think it was the family of God. He said, you know, we're God's household. That's true. And the thing of it is, we are God's household because we have been brought into a relationship and we are part of the family of God. And that happens and has happened through Jesus Christ. The thing of it is, though, it's a personal thing. It's on a personal level, and then it comes into the corporate presence. So you have each individual person with a personal relationship with the Lord. And when you come into an assembly and you come together, you got little pieces of Jesus. And that sounds kind of weird, but I mean, it says that he's the head of the church. Yes. We are members in particular. We are the body of Christ. And the one thing I think the Lord is helping us to see is if we're a part of the body of Christ and we are His church, we don't choose how the church runs. He speaks, He moves according to His will, and He does things His way. He's the head of the church, but we're members in particular. So he sees us as very important. That's why I said the head couldn't do without the toe or the foot. No matter what part of the body you are, I don't care how beautiful it is or not, it doesn't matter. It's needed. It is vitally important. And Jesus, and here's the thing. I saw and heard so many things this morning just from the singing that just blessed me so much. One of the songs that the chorus was singing, that the line was in there, does God intend to dwell with us? He does. He dwells within men. And it comes through Jesus Christ and through His Spirit. And when that person is sealed by the Spirit, they have a relationship with God. God dwells there. You're sealed by the Spirit. And that's why that relationship thing is so important. You know, it's kind of like a cliche. You hear, you know, that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Well, it truly is. Because if we're born by His Spirit, we're born again. We're born in that Spirit, we're sealed by the Spirit, and we have been brought into the family of God. And so we're in a different place, in a different position. Our lives have changed. This world is not our home, and I don't care all the needs that we have here and what we have to go through to work, and it seems like the working thing is forever until you retire, I guess, and then you retire, and then you get busier than you were, and then you die. How exciting is that? But anyway, the thoughts I've been having lately and certain things that I've read, it came back to me this morning. The thing of it is, it gets back to the whole relationship thing that is important for each one of us, so that as the Lord dwells here and we come in here together and we're His body, you see more of a true expression of Christ. Because that individual, no matter what their gift is, they're walking with the Lord and the Lord's walking with them. And this morning when Kenny got up here to have the chorus get up, he said, I think we're going to have the chorus get up first. There had to be an impression that he had to say, let's get the chorus up first. What is that? We need to remember this. When the Lord is the head of the church and He chooses people and He speaks to people, He gives them the unction to do what they might not have planned to do. And that's the same out here in the workplace. The Lord may have you, I want you to speak to that person about this. And you're like, okay, that's out of my comfort zone. I tell you what, if the Lord gives you the unction and the leading to speak to someone, He'll give you the grace to what to say. He'll make it alive. And it has to be Him or it's not alive. The Lord doesn't need a bunch of religious people spouting off religious garbage. He needs a vessel that's waiting on Him. And when that vessel is filled with Jesus Christ overflows and comes out. Amen. And that's what people get. And so if the Lord anoints you to go speak to someone, in the workplace or wherever, the grocery store or some Walmart, whatever, if the Lord anoints you there, you're anointed to do the work of God. And it's important. You might be speaking to a child. There's no little actions when it comes to being led by God. They're all important. And we need the Lord to impress to us what he is, what he would have us do, so that what we do is fruitful. Otherwise, it's not worth doing. Right? Back to the whole relationship thing and what I'd read. I've been reading, I guess it's the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon, and that's one of those books where it's almost like a romantic book. If you got these little subtitles like he, she, or bridegroom, friends. It's almost like a third grade play, like the pirate, the princess, and the cow or whatever, you know, and the pirate says, I love you, and the princess says, I love you too. And they're talking back and forth, but there's this exchange of information about how they feel toward each other. And in that book, I don't mean to make light of that, but I mean it's like different. It's these voices are coming from different directions, you know. And but one thing about it that you see in that, and it is symbolic of what we have in Christ and how much he loves us and how the church is to love the groom, Jesus Christ. It's reciprocal. It is not just one way. The Lord saves us and puts his spirit within us so that we return love to him. And I read this. You don't have to turn this. This is going to be very brief as far as the reading of it. It was in the Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs. It's chapter 5, verse 16. This is what she says. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. That's what it says. He's altogether lovely. And Reed and I were having a conversation last night. It's amazing how many songs, when people are anointed to write a song, I tell you, you know what's in that song? Jesus. Because that person has been anointed from Christ to write that song, and invariably it's going to get back to the Word of God. Because the words he speaks, there's spirit in their life. Right? And so a lot of these songs, but that there's a song that we sing, and I think it's Here I Am to Worship. It says, he is altogether lovely. Well, when that person was writing that song, the Lord brought that back to them. You know why? They had a relationship with the Lord. And as he's maybe sitting in some dark room writing the song, the Lord brings that back to him. That's what he does. He speaks to us. He wants to speak to us. When Job was up here speaking earlier, she was talking about what she was going through. Is the Lord speaking to her through what she's having to go through? Yes. And it's a blessing to others. And it's just like when someone writes a song, you know what? Someone may have never sung to the Lord. When that song is anointed and it's written through the Spirit of God, it can affect someone else that don't even know God. And they don't even know where it came from. But I tell you what, the Spirit of God is living and it is active. I tell you what, we were in the mountains last week, and I was telling somebody, if when you're on vacation, you sure ought to be able to spend some time with the Lord if you disconnected. Truth of the matter is, I don't care how busy we are or what our lifestyle is, we should make time to commune with the Lord. Because he wants to speak to us. And how, that was what Reed was saying last night. You can't ever hear from God unless you shut up and just listen. But if you're not in a place where you're listening and saying, Lord, Lord, help me, or Lord, I need you. It was like Paul told Timothy, I would that all men would pray lifting holy hands. And that's almost like, Lord, I'm your child. Lord, speak to me. That's a pretty simple prayer. But it's one that's needed. Because when he speaks to us and he speaks to our heart, we've got something. We've actually got a part of Jesus. And then we've got life in us, and we've got something to give somebody else. Has anybody found that out? I mean, you can't do anything apart from Jesus Christ. Amen. But again, this relationship that he's brought us to is at an individual level, but it's also for others. It's not just us. It's not just like this all the time. But if this is not transpiring, nor is this. For whether we're in the church or whether we're meeting or talking to others, I'm just saying that. Here's another verse from a Song of Solomon. This is chapter 6. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. But I read that, and I was out walking, and I was coming down the side of the mountain, and that verse came back to me. And it's like the Lord said, "Do you realize how personal that is?" I'm gonna read it again. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. That means there is this relationship that is so strong that both have told each other, I'm yours and you're mine. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That's wonderful. That's what's needed. And again, I thought about this after my conversation with Reed. There's a song that has that very line in there. And it's the hymn, The Haven of Rest. And this is the last verse in The Haven of Rest. Oh, come to the Savior. He patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. That person that wrote that song knew the Lord. Did he not? That person knew the Lord. And that, so there was something else that Joe said this morning. We're starting to sing words and they're starting to mean something. Well, that's what his word is for. It's not just memorizing scriptures. When we put that into practice on a practical level, our relationship with Jesus Christ grows. And truth of the matter is, if he didn't initiate this, we couldn't do it. Nobody ups one day and says, you know what? I'm going to start serving God. I'm going to get me a Bible. I'm going to start reading it, and things are going to be great. This thing is initiated by God. He's the one that seeks after us. And that was another thing I was thinking about when it comes to the whole romantic thing, you know? It's like a guy, he sees a girl, and he likes her, and he starts pursuing her, right? Usually that's the way it is. And the Lord pursues us. He comes after us, and he woos us. I know we've said it, but about the on the road to Emmaus, where the men were walking, and they didn't know who Jesus was. But after he revealed himself to us, he said, didn't our hearts burn within us? There's something real that goes on when the Lord speaks to people. And that's why we need the Lord in every regard for anything we do. It has to be real, so it has to be Christ if it is real. And if it is Christ, there is help. There is strength. There's hope, right? I'm going to read from Ephesians. I believe this is in chapter 5. Okay. And this is what I saw in this. There's just a couple things I'm going to read, and it came back to me when Daniel was up here. This is talking about husbands loving their wives the way Christ loved the church. But there's something very specific in here. I guess we'll just start in 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. Here it goes. We are members of his body. He's caring for us. He loves us. He's in a relationship with us. And by the way, you know, when he gives us his spirit, do we not become one with him? Do the two not become one flesh? There is a relationship that's established. I tell you what, but there's a big picture. There's something coming so big, it's going to even dwarf this. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be in the presence of God and for God to fill us and live in us for eternity? I can't imagine what that's going to be like. But that's what this relationship is for, is to bring us to something. Anyway, here we go. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Is that what it says? This person's over here. That person's here. This guy leaves his father's house. And incidentally, did Jesus not leave his father's house to come here for his church? He came to seek and save that which was lost. What a wonderful Christ. What a wonderful Lord. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. He did leave his father's house. I'm so thankful for what he's done for us. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read one other verse or a couple of verses at the end of Ephesians, and I'm going to be done here. This is in Ephesians 2. And this gets back to what was said at the very first of this service. And he's talking about being reconciled through Christ and what we have. And right toward the end of the chapter, I think it's in verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. That was something else somebody said this morning. He's the chief cornerstone. Praise God. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. You remember in the wilderness, that tabernacle, or when they built the temple, you know what happened when they dedicated it? His presence came down. His presence came down, and that's where he dwelled. And you even look at some of the, it's almost graphic and violent. You think some of the stuff like, well, they took this guy out and stoned him to death. It's like, man, that was rough. But you know what? God's presence was right there. And light cannot dwell with darkness, right? Holiness and unrighteousness don't go together, right? But when God puts his presence in our heart, we are now prepared to be filled with him, used by him, and for him to dwell in us. He is a great God. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And here we go. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. That's the household of God. And I don't know. I'm filled with thanksgiving this morning to see how much the Lord loves us. Not only does he love us, he's chosen to dwell with us. And I saw it here this morning. I know we're not perfect. There's nobody here that's perfect, just like there's no perfect husband or wife or brother or sister in Christ. I tell you who is perfect, Jesus Christ. And he dwells here. And I'm thankful to see the evidence of it and see God working in each one of us. And I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. And that's all I have.
Praise God. I'd been happy if Steve had just gone right ahead. I appreciate the Lord this morning. He has been real, and I praise him. This is one of those times when the Lord is allowing me to experience some things, just to feel my own weakness. But you know, praise God. If we can see through his eyes what he's doing in us, praise God, that's an awesome thing. That's something that's designed to set us free so that we'll trust him. You know, I praise God that he, for his purpose that he has revealed, that has been so well expressed this morning by Brother Steve, that his desire is that we know him. I mean, Jesus prayed in the garden there, not the prayer about his, you know, asking for help and you know, all of that, but there was another prayer that he prayed when he said to his Father, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." Now, that know is not just know about. That's not just religious instruction. That is personal. And that has always been God's heart, is to have a family that he can live in and with and fill and just have this incredible relationship with. And, of course, the problem is we've rebelled against that. And so, you know, one aspect of truth that I feel like is needed in this is the fact, is how in the world can a holy God come and live in somebody like us? I mean, he just doesn't say, "Hey, I want to live there." Okay, come in. There's something, there's a barrier there that God has got to deal with, and that's what love is really about. That's what we were singing about a lot this morning. And this song about the blood, that doesn't make a bit of sense to the world. What in the world does the blood of Jesus have to do with anything? A man died on a cross 2,000 years ago. So what? How does that affect us today? Well, it affects us because that this was not just some man. This was God's Son who became man, who took upon him our flesh and lived by the faith that God had given him, by the strength that God had given him, lived a perfect sinless life. And the issue that God is dealing with is, how can a holy, righteous, just God just ignore sin? How does he deal with it? How does he show mercy and at the same time remain just? How do you do that? We can't earn it. We can't just say, oh, well, I'll make up for all the stuff that I've done. The problem with his coming in is every single one of us by nature rebels against him. We're not like him. It's not a bunch of rules. It's a bunch of things where I just don't live like him. My nature is so self-driven, self-centered, that all I want is what matters to me. And that just leads to destruction and death and everything that you see in the world. How can a holy God actually come and live in a people like us? But that's what the gospel is all about. Thank God. When he woos us, it's with a message not of straighten up and then I'll accept you. It points us to Jesus Christ and what he did. When he went to the cross, in one sense, you know, you hear all the time, oh, he went in my place. Well, yes, he did. Thank God. He is my substitute. He embraced, if you will, the guilt. He embraced my guilt. It was as though every time that he spoke to me and I knew something was wrong and I did it anyway, he said, I'm the guilty one. I did it. Let that guilt fall upon me. Let the punishment for that guilt fall upon me. Oh, my God. What an incredible... You want to know what love is? That's what love is. That's what love is. It is sacrificial. But it's more than that. That's the point I've made many times. I ran into something the other day. I said to myself many times, I said, I've never run into anybody else that puts it the way the Lord impressed upon me. That he didn't just go there as my substitute. He went there as my representative. It was by my faith in him and my surrender and my repentance that I am in effect saying, you represent me. This is not just your death for me. This is my death. I'm renouncing my own sins in my life, and I'm just putting my hope in you to make me the kind of person you want me to be because I have no power to do it. I don't deserve it. Amen. And I finally ran into, I think it was Andrew Murray in one of his writings, he actually used that expression. So praise God, it's not original. But that was a good confirmation. He went there not just as my substitute, as my representative. Has he ever become your representative? Have you ever seen him in that light? That's me. That's what I deserved. And I embrace that. That is what my sin, that's the meaning of my sin. That's what has to happen. So I've got to die because that's the penalty for sin. There's no way sin can live in what's coming. He had to put that away. There is only one thing that can make my heart and yours clean enough for a holy God to dwell in. And that is represented by the blood, because the life of this flesh is in the blood. The life is in the blood. So when you spill someone's blood and they die as a result, that represents the end of a life. Has your life ever ended in that sense? See, this is the starting point. But I just want to get that across. You know, there's always somebody, whether here or whether in the, that listens later. It's wonderful and it's right. Thank God for the emphasis upon God living in us. But how does that happen? You've got to come to the cross. You've got to come and bow down and recognize, I have a need. I cannot make myself fit for a holy God to live in. Only he can do that. And so I renounce every effort. I renounce every sense of me trying to be something. Oh, God, I come just exactly as I am. The last song the choir sang, just as I am. I don't have to pretty myself up. I just acknowledge this is who I am, Lord. I come as a broken sinner. Now, people don't think of themselves that way, but all they're doing is comparing themselves with one another in a way that makes them feel okay. You stand in the presence of God for 1 second, and you will know what this is about. You will know. I don't belong here. I am nothing like him. Oh, God, get me out of here. I can't stand this purity. It just makes me look so bad. I'll tell you, he came to take away all of that and to fill us and make us like himself. What an amazing gospel that we have. Praise God. for what he has done for us. And so now we are his people, and I appreciate it so much. I don't even know how long I'm going to be up here, because I feel like my mind has been all over the map, and maybe the Lord has something else that he wants someone to share, because this is a body. This isn't just a lecture series. Now, if God's given me a gift to teach, there's a time for that. But we are the body of Christ, and every one of us is a member in particular. I appreciate the things that were expressed. I appreciate what Job said and others. Thank God. He lives in every one of us, and we, each one of us, have something to share. But you know how that comes about? You know how that comes about? You know how that come about, Joe? Yeah, she does. Exactly what she said. God begins to work in us to change us into his image. And how does that happen? In order for him to live, we have to die.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is a progressive thing where we learn how to let go of those things that have had such a deep grip in our lives. Every one of us. Starting with me, there are things that we have lived with all of our lives that are just so embedded in our personalities. It is self-will, self-driven. God is going to put his hand upon those things, his finger upon those things, and allow circumstances to come that will, we're going to have to make some choices. God wants every one of us, when that happens, not to bellyache and cry and be mad and point the finger and all the things that we do, but just say, Lord, you have put your finger on a need in me. It doesn't matter who says what, who did what, what's going on. Lord, there's a need in me.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And I can't fix it. You know, one of the scriptures that I did have come to me in thinking about the service, my mind went everywhere. And I said, Lord, there's no way I could, this is like, you know, where do you go with it? But it was a scripture about how God wants to get our roots down deeper. As you have received Christ Jesus as Lord. Now, that's a pretty good starting point, isn't it? You ever receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Have you ever turned your life over to him and say, Lord, this is not my life anymore? Now, that doesn't mean every issue has been solved by that, but boy, that puts you on the road. That opens the door to where Jesus Christ can come in and cleanse the vessel, make us fit for God to come in, but then the journey starts. That's when salvation really begins, and that means he's got to make some changes, just like the songs we sing. There's going to be some changes made in you and me. I know there's a lot of folks here who know what I'm talking about. And I praise God. I see the fruit. Don't you? I see the fruit of God having put his finger on things. And there's freedom that we have, many of us, that we haven't had in the past. And it's coming. I'll tell you, if you're discouraged this morning, you just lift up your heart and seek him. He says, you'll seek me. I'll say this to anybody. If you don't know you don't know what I'm talking about. The Lord says, you will seek me and find me when? When you search for me with what? All your heart. God is looking for willing hearts. And I'll tell you, if we'll come to him and say, God, I don't even know what's wrong and I can't fix it. If I did, couldn't fix it if I did know. But oh God, take me through whatever needs to happen. Lord, I want to be part of what you're talking about. I want my roots to get down deep. We're sailing into difficult territory in this world. We're going to need him. But this truth applies. I don't care when you live during the history of the world. We need him. And everything God has for us has been provided for us in Christ. All we need to do is come and seek and believe and receive that which he has set before us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When the Lord allowing something to happen in your life, God help us. I believe God is helping us. I say there's so many scattered thoughts that I've had, and I don't know that there's any need to go beyond what I've said, but I'll tell you, God is real. He is bringing us to a place where we can experience. That's one of the things that was said. God wants us to experience what we say we believe, what we sing. And one of the burdens that I've had, I guess, it started this whole thing was, God, ground this church in Christ. So many religious organizations are grounded in tradition. They're grounded in some form of hand-me-down religion powered by people who have been educated in their minds as to how you do stuff. My God, we need exactly what was expressed this morning. Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. He's the only one who has the plan. He's the only one who has the power. We're not here to carry on. We're not Thomasites. I thank God for the ministry God gave him, for the courage he had. But he was a man. He wasn't perfect. Like us, like we are, right? We just need him. He uses imperfect vessels to get perfect work done in the end. Thank God. But we're not here to carry on that tradition. We are here to seek the head of the church. He is bringing us by a way we have not gone before. And so there always has to be that sense. We just don't come here to play, to go through the form and do the stuff and sing the right songs and go live our lives. We come here to say, God, lead us on. God, dwell in our midst. If we ever get away from that, we have missed it all. And boy, do we need him in this hour. As I say, we are sailing into dark times. I don't know where the world's going to go. Well, I do know where it's going to go, but I don't know how exactly it's going to play out. But I know we're going to need him, and he is preparing us. I know one scripture the Lord brought to my mind was this. You remember what the prophecy in Daniel 11? We preached a whole message on it one time. But it was about a time that was coming when a terrible, wicked ruler was going to come in and conquer the Israelites and was going to desecrate their temple and just do terrible things. And he was just going to prevail for a while. And he was a lot of people were going to fall under that. But there were certain people who didn't. Who were they? The people that know their God will be strong. The King James says, and do exploits. They'll just do. They'll take action. They won't be paralyzed by the things that are coming. But one thing the Lord reminded me and reminds me whenever I think of that, does it say when the bad stuff happens, the people will say, oh, I better wake up. Oh, I better get to know the... No, this all happened before the bad stuff. You think maybe we need to recognize that even if things seem to be going along and life is somewhat normal and there's nothing terrible, I mean, society hasn't collapsed, they're not putting us in jail yet, okay, we can just relax and find, and then when things get serious, then we'll get serious. You see what the Lord wants of us? He wants us to walk with him and learn his ways now. And not slumber and sleep, but to say, oh God, do whatever it takes to get me ready for your to be a useful to your to people. Useful in your kingdom. I want to be one of the ones that's able to take action. And the reason is not because I'm so wonderful, it's because I know my God. I know he's promised to be with me to the end of the age. I know he has a purpose. I know he's going to finish his work. I want to be on board with that. You know, Jesus talked about the end of the age, and he compared it to two historical events, and usually I use this in another context, but who were they? Noah and Lot. Now, Noah was a man who walked with God, and God gave him instructions, and he carried them out, and he continued to do what God, he was in touch with God, knew what to do, took action, and God rescued him and his family. Lot is called a righteous man, but what was his life like? What did he do when the choice came to separate from Abraham? Which way did he go? He went towards Sodom. Why? Earthly advantage. Well-watered plain. Hey, my flocks will do great. That's the place I need to go. Didn't matter what was going on in Sodom and the fact that was a wicked, wicked city. Said, so that's where I need to be. Oh my God, we need to be thinking in terms of our heavenly citizenship and not let the desires and the issues of the world define our lives. We are his people or we're not. Which do you want to be, Noah or Lot? I believe God wants us to be like Noah and learn to walk with him and say, God, do whatever it takes to make me part of the picture that was painted by through Brother Steve this morning. We are his people. Every one of you matters. Every one of you is different. You all have a particular place. You have something to add that no one else can do. God's designed you for that place. He loves you to the point of sending his son to rescue you when you and I had no possible claim through any merit. He did that. Do you want to just go on? I mean, it comes down to a choice when you talk about the kingdom of God. It's either my way or God's way. And so many religious people try to say, well, it's my way and God's going to help me out. That's not what it's about. It's either my way or it's his way. Thank God it needs to be his way. All the way. Oh, praise God. So I don't know, I don't think I necessarily need to carry this on, but I pray for everyone. Part of the burden I guess I had was I want to see our young people grounded. I'm not going to go on with this as far as I know, but I want to see every one of you come to the point where your faith is personal. You have come to the crossroads. You have met the Savior. You know why you need to be saved, and you have said, I surrender. My faith is henceforth in him. He is my Lord. My life is his. The easiest thing in the world, and how many times have we seen it, is for someone to grow up here, hear the word of God, have God confront them, but always there's some little thing, part of their life held back. And you see it when they grow up, and that becomes the issue, and they follow that instead of the Lord. Folks, he either has all of our hearts or he doesn't have us at all. My prayer is that God will so ground you. God wants to take some of you young people, wants to take all of you. But I don't know what all he has for you, but it could be amazing. I'll tell you, you're already a blessing. We love you. But you've got to have something better than secondhand faith. You can't just do stuff because we say so. It has got to become that personal relationship where you know him. And there is a bedrock conviction as to who you are and what your place is in the grand scheme of things. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I am a child of God. That's what my life is about. It's about worshiping him and serving him, and that's it. And if it means my life, praise God, that's all right, because I know how it's going to turn out. I have left my relationship with this world. I am his and his alone. I pray that God will just bring that conviction. But I pray for every one of us that we will grow in all of this and sink our roots deep into the Lord. Because he had whatever you lack right now, I don't care what it is, whatever you lack, he has it. The riches of God in Christ Jesus are there. I need them. I need them every day. He brings me face to face with things like this morning. In so many ways, but I praise him. He is so merciful and loving. He doesn't show you the things that are wrong to say, I'm mad at you, you're bad. That's the devil's voice that tries to tell you that. He points out the need, so we'll bring them to him and come as we are. And he welcomes a heart that says, I need you to change me. I need you to deliver me from that. And I look to the cross where you have already done it. Let what you accomplished there become mine in a greater way. That's what this is about. See, that's what Joe was talking about. Everything that she has experienced in terms of God helping her flowed out of what Jesus has already done 2,000 years ago. He did it. But we need to experience it. This business of being here is not a part of learning our doctrines and our ways and our traditions and all of that kind of stuff and then saying, I've got it. If that's all you've got, you ain't got it. This is about knowing him and being made, being inhabited by God, by the Spirit, to literally birth a brand new life in you. I'll tell you, when we have that, now we got something. Now we can grow. And I praise God this morning. I don't think there's any need to go forward, but That is a prayer that I prayed several times. I just felt it well up in my spirit. God, ground us. Ground this church. I don't know how much time we have. I know things are not going to be any better. I know we're not looking forward to an easy path in this world. But ground this church. Let us never get away from the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where everything has been provided and He is the living, active head of the church. If we ever lose that, we have lost everything that matters. As far as being a church, you might as well close the doors and go home. But I pray that we will not only espouse that as a doctrine, but we will have it as a living experience that Jesus Christ reigns and He is present here. We don't just come and talk about Him, but He is actually here. And I believe He's been here today. Don't you? To His name alone be glory. He is the only one who needs to be worshipped and lifted up. The name of Jesus is above every name. Praise God. Whatever it is that ails you this morning, whatever the devil tells you, there's a name that's above that name. It's the name of Jesus and what He stands for and what He offers, what God offers through Him. And it does come down to a love relationship. He doesn't want this servile obedience where we're afraid and we're walking on eggshells trying not to make Him mad. We want to come and know that we are beloved children. He loves us with an everlasting love, and He's willing to reach right down to where we're at if we'll just come to Him in that simple trust and learn to love Him and trust Him. I'll tell you, we can have a life that leads to joy and peace and not one that's living in fear. I know there's nobody here that does that, right? Nobody has a problem with that. Just all of us at times. But I'll tell you, God is such a good God. To His name be glory. Praise God.